Lord Jesus, we just we thank you for Alan, Lord. We just thank you for your spirit speaking through him. I just pray this morning you just give us listening ears and listening hearts for what you want to share this morning, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Well, I spent good morning. I spent 2 hours yesterday preparing this all singing, all dancing PowerPoint that was being on the screen, so never mind. Not preparing it. Ah, I wouldn't do that. So today we're continuing in our series looking at the fivefold ministries known as APEST. Let's see if I can remember them. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, teacher. Hooray. And today we are on prophet. So let's start by reading that little bit in Ephesians where Paul tells us about the fivefold ministry. So if you've got Bibles, phones, if you want to look at the verses as they appear on the screen behind me, we're in Ephesians 4, verse 11. We know it well anyway, don't we? And it says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So, you probably know there are various tests you can take online to see which of the fivefold ministries that you might lean towards. I think there's a free online one that we've sent through the church WhatsApp and maybe the church newsletter. And when I last took that test myself, I leant towards prophet. So that's why you've got the joy of listening to me this morning. Jesus, throughout his life and the words that he said, showed us how each of these five ministry gifts are at work, didn't they? And if Jesus had took the test, he would have had all of them perfectly because he was perfect. And the test, it's just a help and a guidance tool that we can take. And it helps us to discern and discover, and when we ask the Holy Spirit, which gift are maybe our dominant gift out of prophet. I've forgotten them already. Apostle, prophet, blah, 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 blah. So, in researching about prophets for today's talk, I have to admit, a lot of the traits and characteristics I found are worryingly a bit close to the mark of my character for my liking. And I just want to say from the start here, at this part in Ephesians, Paul isn't talking about positions in the church. He's talking about gifts from Jesus to help equip the church. He talks about actual positions like elders, pastors, deacons, blah, 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 in his other letters. So I found there are a couple of myths about the fivefold ministry. So let's debunk them before we start. The first one is that the gifts of the fivefold ministry, apostle, preacher, gifts given to the church by Jesus only for the leaders of the church, so everyone else is excused. That's not true, I'm afraid. Paul states, starts his letter to the Ephesians in right at the beginning, chapter 1, verse 1. He says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful and the faithful in Christ Jesus. This letter is to all God's holy people, not just the leaders. It's the people, it's to the people of Ephesus, and then down through the ages to all the faithful followers of Christ. So I'm afraid we're all in the same boat, and these gifts are available to all of us. I don't know why I said afraid, like it's a bad thing that we have, the gifts are good. So, what is a prophet, or what is the prophetic gift that Jesus has given to church? And the simple definition that springs to mind that you can, from the dictionary, would just be a person who speaks on God's behalf to the people. The second definition I found is that a prophet is close to the word of God and the heart of God. A prophet calls us back into relationship with God and helps us focus our response to what is happening in the world with the heart of God. And the prophetic gift is for the church. Apart from Jonah, and we all know the story of Jonah, all the prophets of the Old Testament spoke God's message only to God's chosen people, the Jews. And the New Testament prophets spoke to the church. A prophet questions the status quo, and because of that, like Jesus, is not always welcome and often not very popular. In fact, in Luke chapter 4, verse 24, Jesus says, "Truly I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown." And for Jesus, we see this borne out because in verse 28 and 29, a bit later on, the people in his hometown tried to push him off a cliff. It says, "All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard what he said. They got up, drove him out of the town, took him to the brow of a hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff." And when we read about them, prophets in the Old Testament don't seem to have done very well either. Some of them, as we know, met quite a bit of a sticky end. Throughout history, throughout the whole Old Testament, throughout the New Testament, and even today, still today, prophets are often misunderstood. The first thing that came to my mind when I thought of prophets is that prophets are known for being foretelling. So foretelling means talking about events in the future. In fact, this is probably what comes to most of our minds when we think of the word prophet. However, one of the things that prophets are not very good at, from the Old Testament to today, is foretelling the exact time and date that something is going to happen. And we can see this with the Jewish people, can't we? The Israelites back in the Old Testament, the prophets were really good at telling them about the Messiah that was about to come, that was coming. But when it came to the time and date he was coming, most of the nation missed that he'd even come. Regarding times and dates, though, if we remember in Acts 1-7, Jesus says to us, he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times and dates the Father has set by his own authority." But the primary purpose of a prophet is not to tell us about events that are going to happen in the future. A prophet's primary calling and purpose is actually to be truth-telling, to speak into the gap between the way things are and the way that God wants them to be. And throughout history, prophets have been called and sent by God to speak to his people. And the Old Testament prophets, when we read about the Old Testament prophets, they always were calling God's people back to him, weren't they? Just like the other four ministry gifts, Jesus was the perfect prophet. In Luke chapter 4, verse 14-20, we can read, it says, "Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.' Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him." So there were the Old Testament prophets. There was Jesus, the perfect prophet. And then there were the New Testament prophets and the prophets today. And there are differences between the Old Testament prophets before Jesus and the New Testament prophets and the prophets of today that came after Jesus. In the Old Testament, God mainly spoke directly to the prophets, and he only spoke to a select few. In the New Testament and today, God speaks to prophets mainly through his word, the Bible, and also his living word, Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 2, it says, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe." So, prophets in the New Testament and today need to be in the Word, the Bible, and Jesus, the Word, Jesus, needs to be in them. Prophets are driven by a passion for God and his will. They will often preach a message of repentance, a message of, let's return to what God says and his ways. Prophets challenge religious patterns, legalism, and the status quo. Also, a lot of Christians who have artistic gifts, like Callum and Sarah this morning, leading worship, singing, painting, other art forms, also have a prophetic gift to call people back to God and communicate his truths. And finally, in the Old Testament, God only chose a select few to be his prophets. But in the New Testament and continuing today, God has given many Christians prophetic giftings. In fact, God has given all Christians, all of us, the ability to develop our own prophetic gift and also the responsibility to test and ensure anything that has been prophetically spoken is the truth and is from God. In Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 to 22, "Do not quench the spirit, do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good and reject every kind of evil." As followers of Jesus and Christians today, we all have access to God's word, the Bible, don't we? We all have access to the Holy Spirit, yeah? So we can all test any prophetic message we receive or hear to know if it's true and from God. So, there are five characteristics or benefits of prophets in the church today. Number one, prophets are still God's primary human messengers of his word today. As Christians, though, we all have access to God, don't we, through his word, the Bible, and through the Holy Spirit, which guides all of us. So why do we still need God's prophets today? And I think just because, like in Old Testament times, just like the Israelites, we only know too well, and still today we struggle with unfaithfulness to God, don't we, in rebellion. We're often blind and cannot hear what God is saying. Do you remember when Moses went up the mountain the first time? He'd literally been gone for 5 minutes and the people have melted some gold and built a calf because they couldn't wait for him to come back. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3, "But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort." Two, as we've already heard, and this is the main reason, I think, a prophet is a truth teller. And most prophets don't beat it around the bush or sugarcoat God's message. Prophets challenge us with God's word and how far we can often be from God. They challenge us to turn back, repent, to change, to get on track. Most prophets will be concerned about justice. So justice, especially injustice and righteousness. The poor, the vulnerable, those who cannot look after themselves, the people at the bottom, these are all really important to God. We hear this from a lot of the things that Jesus says in the Gospels. Jesus reveals to us God's heart for the broken and the lost. And because God is concerned about peace, justice, injustice, because God's heart is broken for the oppressed, the people at the bottom, the discriminated against, the poor, the needy. Prophets tend to also be concerned for the same things as it's close to God's heart. Number four, prophets are aware of the spiritual battles that are taking place. Further on in Ephesians, in chapter 6, verse 10, Paul says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle isn't against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." Dealing with the spiritual revelation of evil, the battle and conflict is exhausting work. And because of that, a lot of prophets tend to be introverts and lonely and need times of solitude. Think of the prophets in the Old Testament who spent all that time alone in solitude, like hermits, away from the people. The antidote to this is a really strong prayer life. In fact, it's essential to the life and well-being of a prophet. Prophets need time alone with God to hear his heart, to hear his words, and to restore their souls. And if Jesus spent all that time that he did alone with God in prayer, how many times do we read in the Gospels that he took himself away from the people on his own with the Father to seek the Father's will? How much more do we as imperfect human prophets need to do the same? And lastly, prophets do actually foretell and see what is to come. Today, and even back in the Old Testament times, this, as I said before, this wasn't the primary characteristic or calling or reason why we had prophets, and it actually very rarely involved knowing times and dates. As we've already seen, the most dominant characteristic of a prophet is calling people back to God's will. The secret is, and all of us don't actually like to admit it or even believe it maybe sometimes, is what is to come in the future, it's already spelled out in God's word, the Bible. It's made clear. So, that's the benefits of prophets. But like the other four gifts, four of the fivefold gifts of ministry, there is also another side, a darker side, or drawbacks of prophets. So this is where we're going to get juicy. And unfortunately, like I said at the start, some of these drawbacks are pretty close to the mark when I look at my own character. So hopefully you don't recognise anything. Prophets tend to be a bit wacky and different from everyone else. Remember John the Baptist wearing camel's hair and eating locusts and honey? Jeremiah, apparently he was a manic depressive. And Ezekiel was verging on being mildly insane. So that's the first thing. That's not me. Two, prophecy, unfortunately, is the most polarizing of the fivefold ministries given to the church. People and organizations do not like to be challenged. Who likes to be challenged here? Ah, yeah. You must be a prophet as well then. Do not like to be challenged on the status quo and what they're doing. And because of the polarizing nature, the prophetic ministry is the loneliest of the fivefold ministries. Prophets tend to see things in black and white, with no middle ground. There's no gray area. You're either for God or you're against him. And if you're against him, you need to come back. A prophet's passion for the truth, for God's word, what God is calling people to, and God's will, can sometimes lead to a little bit of a lack of patience with people. Remember Moses? We just spoke about this, didn't we? So impatient with the Israelites for building that gold calf, the Ten Commandments that God had just given him on the tablets, he smashed on the ground. Remember Elijah, all depressed, sitting under an olive bush, wanting to just give up? Oh, the people, God, just change them. And lastly, because of their concern for justice and injustice, prophets often get discouraged and maybe even can suffer depression when they see the evil that is going on in the world. Neil Cole, a writer in his book Primal Fire, Reigniting the Church with the Five Gifts of Jesus, highly recommend it, it's a good book, summarizes the drawbacks of the darker side of prophets. He says, seeing God as always angry and disappointed is neither healthy nor true. The bridegroom also has many words of joy and intimacy to speak into his bride's ear. As prophets mature, they come to realize that God is multifaceted and has many words of hope and grace as he does of correction. When prophets grow so weary of evil that they actually prefer condemnation over redemption, they have fallen prey to the Jonah syndrome. They stop wanting to see change and instead desire to witness the punitive wrath of an angry God on an unrepentant people. Unfortunately, this syndrome still continues to plague prophetic people today. But, and this is really important, love is our greatest command, and holiness is impossible without love. To be a healthy and mature prophet, or any of the other fivefold ministries, or actually even a follower of Jesus Christ, we should always refer back to and remember what Paul says in 1 Corinthians verse 13. It's a really famous verse, isn't it? If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but I do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. And where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part will disappear. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Without love, we are all nothing. All of the gifts given to the church that Paul mentions in Ephesians 4 should be exercised using the same sacrificial love that Jesus showed and keeps showing us today as our only motivation. That's why, in regards to the prophetic gift, to be a prophet, we need to be close to both the Word of God, to know what He says in the Bible, but also the heart of God. You can't be one without, you need both. You can't have one without the other. As Jesus so perfectly demonstrated while He was on earth carrying out His public ministry, and as He continues to equip all of us today by being in us through the Holy Spirit. Just to summarize, there's another really great writer, I don't know if you've heard of him, a writer called Alan Hirsch. What a great name, Alan. Must be a prophet. Must know what he's talking about. And in his books, he often discusses the role of prophets within the context of the missional church, which is the vision that we have here in Stratford, a church going out with our missional communities and reaching people. Alan Hirsch also writes that prophets aren't just people who predict the future, but also those who are attuned to God's voice and challenge the status quo. He often links the prophetic role in the church today to a kind of countercultural function within the church. He says that in the view of the way he's writing and thinking in his book, prophets are crucial for reorientating the church around God's purposes rather than the prevailing culture and what's happened before and what's going on in the world. And just to finish, here's a couple of quotes from his books that he's written that are related to prophets. He says about, in it, he's got an excellent book called The Forgotten Ways, The Missional Church. He says, on the role of prophets in the church, prophets are those who are particularly attuned to God's heart and God's purposes for the church in its time and place. They are able to both critique the status quo and offer a vision for what God is calling the church to become in that context. He also says in the same book, prophetic leadership is not merely about predicting the future, but speaking truth to power, challenging dominant assumptions, and calling the church to embrace God's mission in the world in radical and transformative ways. And in his book, The Shaping of Things to Come, he says, prophets are disruptive people. Oh dear. They are the ones who speak God's truth in ways that shake the foundations of church and society. They challenge the dominant paradigms and offer fresh insights about what God is calling us to do in the world. So, to finish, to be a healthy community of Jesus' disciples and followers, we need each of the fivefold ministry gifts. No, not one of those gifts is more important than the other, and not one of those gifts will ever be effective without all of the other gifts also present. And all of them, and this is the, if you were going to hear one thing from the end, speaking as the prophet sort of gifting, this is what I'd want you to remember today. All of them can only be exercised and outworked as God intends, with that same sacrificial love that Jesus displayed as our motivation.